You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, Pitt fans? Welcome back to another Pitt Mailbag here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and on our podcast network. He is Chris Carter. I am Noah Hiles. And Chris, another eventful weekend of recruiting for Pitt. The final week of official visits has come and gone. We are approaching July, and we're just a month closer to training camp now, Carter. Can you feel it? Can you feel like the 2023 season is really, really close, because I think in 5 weeks we're going to be covering a training camp.
Nope, I can't feel like it because Chris is trying to enjoy what time he has before it happens. I'm kicking my feet up. I'm enjoying time. We get to do mailbags and not have to like be on a story every single day. But
I'm not going to sit here and act like camp is brutal to cover, though. I mean, we're normally in and brutal. Out by like 2 p.m.
So you have one training camp to cover. I got two.
That's
so
true. Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, there's a lot of writing, but like, I don't know. You can kind of work ahead on that. Nonetheless, we're having a good time. We got a lot of questions here. We got some football. We got some basketball. We're going to get into it now. We'll start off with Tom, who I really like this question from Tom. Who, if anyone, has the best shot to finish the season as a finalist for an individual award? I'm assuming Tom's talking about college football because that's the season that's coming up. And that's how we're going to answer this. Chris, do you have anyone off the top of your head? Because I have a couple.
You know, that's tough. I think
you Gavin Bartholomew.
You go first. I was going to say Gavin Bartholomew, but go ahead.
Gavin was number two on my list for the Mackey Award, the John Mackey Award, which is for the best tight end in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Number three on my list was MJ Devonshire for the Jim Thorpe Award.
Yeah.
I could not find a return man award, because if there was a returner year of the word, a return man year, I don't know what I'm saying, or an award for the best returner in the country, if there was something like that, which I thought there was, but I couldn't find it, that maybe would be what MJ would be in the running for. But I think the number one guy on Pitt's roster that has a chance to win an individual award would be the Lou Groza Award, which goes to the best kicker in the country, one Benjamin Sauls. I think that he probably has the best chance out of anybody this year for Pitt, just because I think you're reloading on that defensive line. I don't think they're going to throw the football a lot, so that kind of rules out the quarterback and the wide receivers. Running back's just tough, you know? Like, there's just so many good ones.
Every year, yeah.
Offensive line, and I don't know. I think Ben Sauls, he was what, first team all ACC in the preseason? I don't think it's out of the question for Ben Sauls to be in contention to be an All-American this year. I really do. He was lights out throughout ACC play last year. Really, after the Western Michigan game, he was lights out. He delivered an all-time performance in the Sun Bowl, and I think he's coming into this season looked at as a major weapon on Pitt's team. So that would be my answer. Carter, do you have anyone else that pops off in your mind?
So, yeah, Gavin was my thing for the Mackey Award. Jim Thorpe Award could be MJ Devonshire if he's able to make some more pick sixes happen. You know, I would be very intrigued to see how Bengali Kamara does this year and if he could win the Dick Butkus Award for outstanding linebacker. Now, there's going to be some really good linebackers out there, but with his athletic ability, if he's able to make some big plays in the middle part of the field and he's able to turn some interceptions around like he did last year when he was starting to get his feet under him, with his size and speed, that I think he could put himself in a really good running there just by his athleticism alone, and making that a thing. So I certainly think that he could be in that conversation. You know, I'm not so. I think there's a lot of stuff. It's tough to look at you know, senior quarterback for the Johnny Unitas Award, and you know, seeing things like that.
Senior quarterbacks.
There's a lot. That's the thing. It's a lot. Like when Kenny Pickett was able to win that in 2021, Kenny Pickett literally broke the records of the ACC scorings for quarterback. Like he broke Deshaun Watson's record, and I'm not sure that Phil's going to be able to do that this year. So I'm with you, Gavin. I'm with you on Devonshire. I throw in Bengali Kamara at linebacker potentially as well.
All right. So we'll move over now. We've got a couple of Pitt recruiting questions. This first one comes from Eileen. She wants to know how big of a quarterback target is Hasselbeck's kid for Pitt, which would be Henry Hasselbeck, the son of Matt Hasselbeck. He's a Maryland commit for lacrosse, and his entire family went to Boston College. Also, Peter Gonzalez's son committed to the place in the middle of the Commonwealth. Was that a surprise? I got to say, first off, Eileen is awesome. She's been following me on Twitter for a long time. I like that she gives the detail with these questions, along with just the question. She gives the context. She's just a very well-informed reader and fan, and you have to appreciate that. I'll start with this. I'll answer the Peter Gonzalez thing real quick, and then we can talk more about Henry Hasselbeck, because you have a little bit more of the inside track on that than me. As far as Peter Gonzalez's commitment, I mean, he had Pitt outside his top three. I think his top three were Virginia Tech, Miami, and Penn State. I was shocked when that came out, simply because, I mean, the kid plays in Oakland in high school football, his dad was the quarterback for the Panthers. And for him, he made a lot of unofficial visits, if I recall correctly. And for him to not even put the Panthers in his top five, top three, I mean, I was kind of shocked. But the reality is, when you're looking at guys like Peter Gonzalez or a couple of his high school teammates or other kids throughout the Whipple, Penn State kind of has the Whipple on a chokehold right now. They're getting the guys that they want. You can make the argument, you know, oh, hey, Pitt got Ty Uhas from Central Catholic, and Pitt got Cameron Lindsay from Aliquippa. Well, you know, you could point out the Lindsay thing. That's a great signing for Pitt, or that's a great commitment for the Panthers. But Penn State, that came after Penn State brought in like three linebackers prior to Lindsay. So who knows where he goes if the Nittany Lions didn't get other linebackers. They got Speca before him. So they're really going after and getting the top guys right now. I'm not sitting here saying that Lindsay is, you know, anyone second tier or whatever. I think that plenty of teams throughout the country would be very happy to have him. I think Pitt should be very happy to have him. But as far as, you know, big names go, especially in the higher classifications, Penn State's kind of running the Whipple right now. And that's why, you know, the verbal commitments of a guy like Cam Lindsay and Ty Uhas, that's a big deal, because it's some momentum where if you're Pitt, you hope that that can carry into future years. I mean, with, you know, there's a quarterback, Julian Duggar at Penn Hills. Maybe they can get him. You know, you want to see Pitt get those types of guys, and not just the guys that Penn State says, oh, we don't want them. It's the guys that Penn State also really wants. And they're competing with the Nittany Lions for guys outside of the state of Pennsylvania. But right now, the Nittany Lions are coming into Pitt's backyard, and they're getting some of the guys that I'm sure the Panthers really wanted. That's a tough loss for Pitt, but that's just the reality. So that answers the Peter Gonzalez side of that question. And I know Pitt fans are not going to like hearing that, but that's the truth. Just look at it. They're getting the highest rated guys in the state, and that includes in the Whipple. We'll talk more about Hasselbeck now, because he is, I think, one of the more important guys on the board right now for Pitt. Maybe not as a high rated guy. He's only a 3-star, and quarter or football might not even be this kid's best sport. But his position alone makes him a player of interest. Chris, you told me you had some solid info from a source. I'll let you share it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure.
You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, so Henry Hatzbeck was in, and he said there seemed to be a lot of mutual appreciation when he in his visit with Pitt. He visited Pitt back on June 22nd, so he got to walk around. He got to see Kenny Pickett working out with the Steelers and doing everything that they were doing for OTAs at the time. And there's definitely some mutual interest. Now, here's the thing, is that they're in competition with Michigan State and Boston College. I would not be shocked if, looking at Henry Hasselbeck, if some of this depends upon, you know, what the offense looks like under Frank Cignetti this year. And like, he might even commit at some point to Pitt or to somewhere else and then change his mind based off of how these offenses look in this upcoming season. And so for Henry Hasselbeck, you know, a young kid out of Massachusetts, 6'3", 170, you know, right size, obviously the lineage of an NFL quarterback. That's always an attractive thing that you want to have on your roster. Add it to the thing. He's a three-star recruit right now. He's a lacrosse commit, but I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of came out of that at some point and announced either for Pitt or Michigan State. I have a hard time seeing Boston College. I know that that's kind of like a local thing for him, but I feel like the rebuilding that Boston College is going to be doing, I completely disagree. Why is that?
Because his dad and mom went there.
I get that, but like,
and that's I just think that there's so much going against Pitt here for this player. Where first off, he's not the best quarterback on their roster. There's better guys out there. I'm not sure that Henry Hasselbeck's better than Duggar, the kid from Penn Hills, and he has less offers right now. But when you're competing against another sport, this kid's already verbally committed to play. One, he wants to go play lacrosse in Maryland. That's where his verbal commitment is. So you're trying to get him to decommit, not only decommit from a program that you might compete against, but a completely different sport. And then, you know, I think it's probably a two-team race based off of stuff that I heard. But Boston College, I mean, playing for your dad, if you're going to make the choice to follow your dad's footsteps and be a quarterback as opposed to taking your own route and play lacrosse, I think it would make sense to just follow his footsteps completely and go to Boston College. This is a guy and he's from Massachusetts, probably could play very early in Boston College. Where at Pitt, who knows?
I agree with that.
This is a program that's built its position around the transfer portal recently. So where Boston College, sure, they've played transfers too, but I think that name would have some weight there, where if he's coming in from Pitt, it's a little different. So that's why I think that he's certainly a target simply because Pitt needs a quarterback in its 2024 class. And It doesn't have one yet. I don't think it has one in the hidden verbal commitments that there are. I believe there's two now. I know of one of them. I don't know who the other one is. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's another quarterback. I don't know. I don't know. I think there are better guys out there personally.
I hear you. I think there very well could be. I think that he would be smart to consider Pitt. I think that Pitt taking a look at him doesn't have to go all out and make him or bust. But I do think that there's reason for mutual appreciation there for both sides, and he could be a guy who comes in, you know, if Christian Veyer becomes the starter next year and he's a freshman, you know, you could learn behind him and then whoever else they bring temporarily, and you can work your way up, and that could be a natural progression for him on an ACC football roster.
Oh, I agree. Like, I don't think the guy's going to be terrible. I just think that there's a lot of work that would have to go into getting him as opposed to other guys who actually are 100% committed to playing college football. You know, I just think there's just a little bit more there, but we can move on. Roy wants to know, I really like this question. Okay. Which three-star verbal commit in Pitt's 2024 class are you guys the highest on and why? So Pitt has three verbal commitments right now that are four stars, according to Rivals. That'd be Jasir Whittington, Rick Darius Farmer, and Cameron Lindsay. The rest of their verbal commitments, I believe we know 20 of them now, maybe 19 because one decommitted. Yeah, 19. So 16 of the others are three stars. Mm-hmm. Which one do we think has the highest ceiling? Would you like for me to start, or do you want to start here?
No, you start.
I'm really big on Caleb Holmes. And maybe this is an asterisk because he is a four-star on 247 Sports. On two, according to 247 Sports, he's the highest rated player, period, that Pitt has in its 2024 class. But we go off arrivals at the Post-Gazette, so he's a three-star. I think Caleb Holmes, I'm pretty sure he went to the same high school as BJ Williams, the freshman center on Pitt's roster now. He was an early enrollee. That could be good. But if we're picking a consensus three-star, I'm either going to go with Jeremiah Marcellin, the linebacker who just committed from Florida last week, or Cameron Monterio, who is going to play receiver for Pitt. He committed a couple weeks ago. He's from Massachusetts. He plays quarterback. Just seems like an all-out stud athlete. Great basketball player from what I've seen. I like him for different reasons. I think Marcellin probably will end up being a four-star. He's right on the fringe for at most recruiting sites that you'll see give player ratings. And I just like his size, and I think Pitt needed an interior linebacker, and he provides that need. As far as Monterio goes, it's just the athleticism. I just look at him, and that's a player that you could use in a lot of different ways. So those would be the guys that I'm looking at. Chris, do you have anyone else?
I like Alan Bryant out of Fort Lauderdale, defensive back, 6'1", 170. I think that his athleticism, the things that I've seen of him on tape, you know, he's not going to be an immediate impact guy, but I think he's going to be a guy that becomes an asset to you sooner rather than later in the defensive process. I like Ty Juhas. You brought him up earlier, defensive end from Central Catholic. Got to talk to him during one of the spring practices. Really nice young man. So I think he has his head on in the right way. And I think that they've got a bunch of guys in this class that I think are pretty impressive for how they carry themselves and how they, you know, they handle everything and how I think that they're going to take on the challenge of not just trying to adapt to college, you know, athleticism, but also adapting to, you know, how you're going to need to be patient and wait on the bench. They need guys who aren't going to lose their stuff if they're not starting within six games, you know?
I got to tell you, I don't know if you saw it. I was wiping away tears of joy that my City League coworker gave the Whippeal guy some shine. That's so nice of you to say. I'm so happy.
I don't hate the Whippeal.
I know. I purposely left them off because I always am always promoting the Whippeal. You know, and I'm just glad someone else.
I promote Whippeal people too. I don't hate Whippeal. I'm just come on, Noah. What are you
right,
doing?
All
over
right,
here?
All right. No, yeah, I'm glad you gave Ty because I do think Ty Juhas is going to be a good player here.
Yeah, I think all so right. too. I told him that to his.
Okay. All right. We'll move it on now. Eddie wants to know: do preseason football rankings even matter? Would it be better for college? What an incredible question.
I love that. I love the way it's just questioned.
Would it be better for college? Matter. Would it be better for college football if they waited until the first month of the season to release the top 25? I'll say this. That's never going to happen because you know who releases those polls is the media.
Yeah, and baby.
Those you things get a lot of clicks. And they have some importance. But in reality, the only poll that matters in today's world of college football doesn't come out until like 8 weeks into the season. Right. And that's the playoff ranking. So in a way, Eddie, you're correct. It doesn't matter. None of these like I saw Monday morning, PFF had Pitt number 25 in the country for its preseason rankings. That's cool. Does it mean anything? No. I mean, none of the rankings, the AP rankings don't mean as much anymore. They don't mean really anything. I mean, if you're a fan of a team that's ranked top 25, it's certainly nice to see that little number next to it on the scoreboard when you're watching on TV or whatever, but there's only one poll that matters now. The coaches poll, the AP poll, like that stuff's just extra. They keep doing it because they've done it forever, but the college football playoff poll is the only thing that matters. And the fact that it does not come out until week 8 kind of says what you need to know, Eddie. And granted, I'm sure that some of the basis of that college football, that first poll is based on, oh, okay, well, this team's been ranked top 10 all year. They have wins over three or four ranked teams. And who are the ranked teams? They're ranked by the AP. So they right. do have some weight, but overall, I think we can get an idea like, hey, this Alabama team, pretty good. Georgia, pretty good. You know, like, I don't know. I see a use for it. It's never going to change, so I don't really think too much of it. But like I said, the most important poll doesn't come out until more than halfway through the season.
College football is a game and an event that is a lot about pageantry, about traditions, about excitement that has nothing to do with the game itself, that has nothing to do with the plays being called or the throw, the passes being made or the catches being made, or the interceptions, the tackles, none of that. It is about the hype built around it by the fans, the media, all of us that aren't playing or coaching in the game. And the preseason rankings are every bit a part of that when leading into the season. Heck, someone posted the highlights of, what was it, when it was Eastern Michigan, I think,
Appalachian State beat Michigan.
Yeah, when that happened, it broke everything. And everyone was like, what? No one had ever heard of some unranked team that no one cared about before that game. Okay. I see your face over there.
They were the FCS champions nationally a couple times. Put some respect on Appalachian State. That was a big win.
Okay, Mr. Mount Union. I'm sorry.
No, they're FCS. That has nothing to do with Mount Union. You just don't know ball.
I don't know balls.
Oh,
okay.
All right, no. Continue.
We're fighting after this. But my point is, but like, if you didn't know, again, I was a freshman in college at the time, and I just, when I saw that happen, I was like, whoa, I didn't know that could happen, and it changed everything. And now upsets are a regular part of things, and part of those upsets are the rankings we give these big name teams who are expected to do well. And yes, it doesn't mean that team is going to do well. There's a lot of times when it's completely wrong, but when it is, it makes for so much more excitement when you are that little school, you are that FCS program, and you're like, we took down the big dogs. And it wouldn't have mattered as much if Michigan wasn't ranked, number 7 in the country at the time, I think, when that happened. They were number 5. Exactly.
Pretty sure they were number 5,
So they lose, they win that game. It adds more to those little teams. So I think it's totally fine. Do they matter? No, but they're part of the fun. So just have fun with them like we do.
Right. Yeah. I think sports, we love to put a hierarchy in sports, regardless of at the end of every year, we find a winner. No kidding. But in college sports, college football is like one of the only things in the world where, you know, you look at the end of the season and you celebrate like, hey, we finished 16th. You know, like that's like they have the end of season polls. Like Pitt Narduzzi saying after the Sun Bowl to EJ in the press kit, we better be ranked after beating the season. We better end the season ranked. And I thought that was funny, but it's true because it means something. And so it means something to be ranked in week one to these teams. It means something. And I know I said it's meaningless. And because in all reality, a lot of the preseason rankings look nothing like the end of season rankings. But that's just like what you said, Carter. That is college sports. It's pageantry. It's tradition. We love to have a hierarchy. And I'll say this. The top 25, those AP ranks, it makes everything easier for the media. It makes it easier for college football or college game day to decide where they're coming to your city. You know, each week it makes it easy for what games are going to be flexed and whatnot and times and all that stuff. It makes it easy for the ACC network to decide they're going to keep putting Pitt at an 8 o'clock kickoff and make me want to, you know,
don't
go
make
insane.
This personal, Noah. Don't make right. this personal.
No, but that's how it works. That's what it is. It's kind of silly, but sports are silly. We put a lot of effort into talking Agreed. About games played by people we don't know, and it's beautiful. So we'll finish off with one last question, and before I do, I want to make something clear. Carter does know ball. He knows a lot of football. He knows a lot about football. He's very smart man, and I'm lucky to call him my coworker and friend. And I'm not feeling threatened at all right now. Lance wants to know for our final question of the day. He says, "Is Pitt going to land Trevor Jackson, or is he opting to be Texas A&M's third quarterback this class?" I sense a little bit of frustration there from you, Lance. I would have to assume, I mean, if it's, he only took two visits, official visits, he took one to Pitt and one to Texas A&M in June.
Yeah.
Lance is right. Texas A&M has two quarterbacks already verbally committed. One's a 4-star, one's a 3-star. Now that's assuming maybe his verbal commitment scares away one of those two. We saw that with Pitt defensive back. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, but the kid decommitted once he saw how many verbal commits Pitt had in the defensive backfield, and probably some he heard about that are coming that we don't know about yet. That could happen where Trevor Jackson, you know, says like, oh, they tell him we like you more than one of these two guys. He'll probably decommit or we'll pull the offer. That could happen. But, I mean, if you just look at it, if it's between those two, A&M, sure, probably get you more NIL stuff. It's in, they're in a better league, the SEC.
Yeah.
But, man, you're looking at a place where you're going to be the guy in this class. You're looking at a place where you could be maybe the second string quarterback next year, assuming that, you know, the loser between Yarnell and Veyer transfers, which could very well happen. You're looking at a place where, yeah, you could be a second string as a freshman, or at the very least a second string as a redshirt freshman on an ACC team that competes year in and year out. Yeah. So I would find it very hard to believe that Pitt has a quarterback higher right now on its priority list than him right now. I think that they're all in on this guy. They really want him. If you go by, if you want to play it like NBA free agency, the last couple of tweets he's liked have been by Pitt verbal commits or guys on their official visit to Pitt, which sounds silly to say, but we're talking about 17-year-olds, so maybe that is a good gauge of where their mind's at. It is what it is. So I think that Trevor Jackson is a good fit for Pitt. He runs a pro-style offense. I would find it hard to imagine that Pitt wants any quarterback right now on their radar more than him.
Yeah, I'm right with you. You know, they had Kenny Minchie the other year, and that fell through. He went to Notre Dame. I think Trevor Jackson, he fits everything. He's visited Pitt. He seems to like it. I think that there's always a chance that a bigger school is going to gobble up a player like that. But I think I think anyone can look at the Panthers quarterback situation and think that, like, okay, they have immediate answers, but, you know, Ty Diefenbach,
right,
is a three-star guy who, you know, seems really nice and seems like he could grow into the guy someday. But if I'm a guy that has my own plans, I'm not holding back. I'm not cowering off an opportunity because of the competition there. And maybe that's what will happen if he goes to Texas A&M and he's like, I'm just going to beat out everyone else. But when you go to Pitt, you can know that, like, hey, I don't have that kind of competition there. My competition will come on the field. And that's where I'll prove where I'm the best at. So I don't know if they're going to land Trevor Jackson, but I do feel like it's more likely than not, just looking at the opportunities that he would have at Pitt with their lack of quarterbacks and with their setup right now as far as how they're building forward.
Yeah, if it's between Pitt and Texas A&M, it would make a lot more sense for him to go to Pitt. I think that's the best way to summarize it. Final thoughts, Chris, you got anything? I actually want to go first on my final thought. We talked Pitt quarterback recruiting earlier this month. I was misinformed. I misspoke about Kenny Minchie. I thought he committed prior to Cignetti's hiring. I was wrong. He committed after Cignetti was hired. So that's wrong on me. Mark it down. First time I've ever said anything incorrect in the history of my life. Went 28 years before I did it. So that's a tough scene on my end. I made a mistake. I'll own it. I apologize for the misinformation there. And I'll be better in the future. Carter, you got anything?
Noah's wrong like every day about something.
I am.
So like...
I am. Not necessarily about college sports, but like...
Just like in general.
Yeah, my hit rate with this stuff's pretty good, but everything else in life is like... I'm Austin Hedges with the batting average. People are booing me every time I come to the plate when they're asking me about non-college sports related information.
My goodness. But yeah. I still think that there's still some excitement to come from Pitt's recruiting class. And I think we'll be seeing that in the next couple of weeks here or so. Everything I think is looking really good right now. Even if they don't land, you know, another big name, I still think this is a very successful recruiting class compared to the ones they've had over the past several years.
Yeah. And I mean, we have some inside tea information, you could say. I think there's some big names to expect in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so. I don't think Pitt's done yet with the excitement this summer. That's all we'll say for now. Carter, it's been a pleasure as always. Want to emphasize again, you do indeed know ball, my friend. And you can listen to Chris Carter talk football and all other sports here on this wonderful YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already to listen to all of our Post-Gazette content on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. Take care, folks.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you liked the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you enjoyed it on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. For 6 months of digital access to post-gazette.com for just $6, click the link down in the description.